Twin sisters Tegan and Sarah are here today, and they have a new album called The Con. The song, Walking with a Ghost, from their last album, took off, as has the girls' career. Their new album leaves the acoustic guitars behind for more of a new wave-ish sound. It was produced by Chris Walla of the band Death Cab for Cutie. I asked Tegan if they chose Walla to produce because they had a sound in mind for the record.
Part of that sound did get developed prior to meeting Chris and working with him. I mean, Sarah and I spent a year in our home studios, Sarah in Montreal and me in Vancouver, recording songs and track after track after track. And we both, I mean, had an abundance of time. So it wasn't like just laying down a guitar and a vocal and then hoping for the best. It was like laying down 8 guitars and 5 vocals and, you know, layering keyboards and subsynths. And I even pulled out a drum kit and, you know, started programming. And like, there was just a lot. So once we had got in the, you know, Chris in the mix with us, he fell in love with the demos. He's like, it's already a record. I love it already. I just really want to like help recreate some of the stuff that is a little messy. And I think we can do better on some things. And obviously we want to bring a real bass player and drummer in, but in songs like I Was Married and Are You 10 Years Ago, I mean, huge, massive elements of the demos were used in I Was Married. Almost the entirety of what Sarah had recorded is what's actually on the record. So I think Chris, where he really like influence the sound is he kind of enabled us to kind of go in there and say, no, we want to sing the same thing 4 times in a row to create this wider sound wave rather than using one of your very expensive, you know, sort of like machines there. And he was so into that. So,
well, hearing you guys do these songs live, they really pop live too. They just sound fabulous. I guess we're going to start with one of Sarah's songs, like Oh Like Age. And there's some lyrics in here about being young, and then I can't tell if it's about being 9 or being 14. There's all kinds of how different are you, do you think?
I mean, I think that Tegan and I always give off the impression that we're very like happy and we're charismatic and we're people pleasers. We love when people are comfortable. It's like I feel a great discomfort if I think someone else is uncomfortable. I'd rather my own comfort be sacrificed, you know, for someone else's. And I think when I was a little kid, I was pretty stressed out. I was pretty stressed out inside, you know, like I was really worried about things. I was a smart kid, so I was like reading a lot. And I don't know that I totally had the filter to process everything like, you know, accurately or whatever. And I think that caused me to be pretty stressed out. And I think the reaction to that when I was a teenager was to be a bit of a handful. I was always a good kid, but, you know, I definitely had my couple years there where I'm sure my mom was ready to, I mean, she did strangle me, but only in fun. But I mean, not seriously fun. I think that now, you know, like I still have those elements in me. Like I still see the 8-year-old in me and I still see the 14-year-old in me. But, you know, I think at 26, I'm the best I've ever been, I hope.
Amen. What do I know? But it seems good.
Okay, good. Thanks.
This is like Oh Like Age.
I was growing pains like lead.
Like, oh, like H Live on stage at World Cafe Live, and we're getting a chance to, you know, this is kind of like the background commentary track on the DVD with Tegan and Sarah, as we're talking about some of the songs and some of the performances from the new album. I want to talk about the Con, because it's interesting, because Much of So Jealous was kind of like about breakup. Mm-hmm. And explain the Con, because I love what I've heard about this.
Like the actual the concept of the
record. The Con,
well,
yeah.
I think we both loved the idea that it was going to be open for interpretation for a lot of people. I mean, everyone's running with the convict, pros and cons, concept album. Sarah, you know, the origin of Con was confidence. I think all of those elements definitely represent a lot of what's going on our record. For me, it was basically just this 25-minute rant I was giving about, you know, because this record for me wasn't about being from a recent breakup. It was about falling in love again, and it was about the anxiety and the anxiety. I mean, I can't think of another word. And it's just insecurity and desperately, the Con itself, that song was just about basically creating an image for everyone else that you project, and then going home and being taking almost your costume off. And I would get into bed and be you know, having to act so normal and healthy and not I was falling in love and just all these things. It was just a kind of a crazy Con at that point. I just was, and I don't know that I was even conscious of it while I was doing it. So all these Con words kind of came up, and I was just kind of ranting about it. And it had been a bit of a catchphrase for me, saying that I was conning everybody. And Chris Walla sort of spun around about 15 minutes into my rant and was like, "The Con." And he pointed at me and he's like, "That's it." And I was like, "Great. This is awesome." We found the title of the record. Sarah took a little time to come around to it, but I think that she was able to find sort of words within that sort of frame of mind and sort of that theme to adapt it to her songs.
What would Sarah say about that?
You know, I definitely, it did grow on me, like Tegan said. I think sometimes I like to look at the bigger picture, you know, what is the art, how is the title of the album going to influence the artwork for the album and the subsequent, you know, images around the whole project for the next 2 years of our lives. And so that's a big thing for me too. As literary as I feel we can be about things, sometimes I also can't help but think about the imaging. And so the Con for me initially didn't sink in. I was like, what do you do with the image around that? So it sort of all started to come together for me when I started dealing with our art director, Emmy Story, and she we started brainstorming about ideas about how we could really convey that. And we sort of came up with this idea of having a book with the inside cut out where you would hide something. And that really just sort of spun off into a million ideas about books and library cards and just the whole theme of, you know, the old fashioned style of writing and the old style illustrations, you know, from books like The Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew and that sort of thing. And that was when I really started to like The Con.
Well, the other part of the relationship part of it, mm-hmm. really interests me as well. This is where your old interviews come back to haunt you. Didn't someone once say that if you fall into a relationship with one of you, you end up getting both?
To both of us. I think that that's been a common thing that was told to us. And for a long time, I know that I personally really resisted that. I would be constantly telling whoever I was dating, you know, like, no, it's not like that. You know, it's really about me. And I think that I've become... I've given in a little bit. I think that Tegan and I have been in a relationship since conception. It's impossible to challenge that in any way. And because we've made this choice to have this life path together, and we play music, and we're so closely linked in the media and in our art and in our, you know, in our lives or whatever, I think that there is that sort of element. When you start dating one of us, you really are taking on not just me as a person, but you're taking on my life, my career, my sister, my family. We're those kind of people. We're not the kind of date you're like, I don't want to spend Christmas with my family, so don't worry about that. There's no challenge there. I'm pretty much you have to sort of get on the family shield, you know?
Even with you now living, you know, I think halfway across the country?
I think so. Even with us not living in the same place, I still think that It maybe relaxes it a little bit, but it's still relevant for sure.
Well, this is the song that is the title. This is The Con from Tegan and Sarah.
I listened in. Yes, I'm guilty of this. You should know this. I broke it down and wrote you back before you had a chance to forget. Forgotten. I am moving past this feeling. Notice. I have to go. Know that feeling, know you're leaving. Oh God, what are you to say? I can't decide.
The Con, live on stage at World Cafe Live, and Tegan and Sarah have joined us to provide commentary on the tunes with this great band. Oh, give props to your band. Who's playing?
Johnny Andrews is on drums. He played a bit with us on So Jealous right near the end, and he's fabulous. Ted Gowans has been with us now. This is his second record with us, and he contributed on this record some keyboards and guitars, and he's singing live, so he's fabulous. And then our newest member is Dan Kelly on bass guitar, and I met him actually through Hunter Bergen from AFI. He suggested him, and we became friends, and he's a young guy and really eager, and we can push him around, and he sleeps in the trailer, so we have an extra junk bunk. It's pretty awesome.
One of the things about the new album, which is kind of cool, and I would think also be kind of scary, is that you the whole process was videoed.
Yeah.
Do you get energy from being that much out there in the open?
If it's someone that we don't know and we start getting photographed or filmed, I get really uncomfortable. I think that people find it hard to believe sometimes because we can just bounce up on stage in front of however many people and act confident and comfortable, that we are confident, comfortable people all the time. And we're not. And we can be very shy and very introverted and nervous. And especially during such a intimate, you know, process, like, you know, making an album, you have to have the right dynamic. And we have a great friend who's a filmmaker, and she had done some work with us on So Jealous, but we really wanted to get the full, you know, the full thing this time. And so she moved down to Portland with us and spent 2.5 months filming us in the studio every day. And you get comfortable. I mean, a great filmmaker like that, or like a documentary kind of, you know, person, is like that they become almost invisible in this way, unless you want them to not be invisible. I want to use them as a prop in whatever I'm saying or whatever. And I think that it's maybe not as nerve-wracking as one would think, or uncomfortable as one would think, but I also think that that's partly the dynamic that we have generated with this person. So, but I think it was really fun, and we definitely, you know, you think a lot more about how you're behaving when you know that it's being logged to tape. And so I think that we really were funny. I mean, I really love the movie because we are having a great time and we're enjoying ourselves, and I think we're entertaining, and so it was a great experience to do that.
Now, what's going to happen with that? Is that out?
It's going to come out. It's out. Basically, the CD is being sold in two forms. It's like being sold as just like the CD, and then also a deluxe package where you get an hour and a half movie. And it's 14 chapters that correspond directly with the 14 songs on the album. So each chapter is actually a making of the song. Instead of a making of the album, you get to see a 6 or 7 minute piece on each song.
So, Tegan, what's the story about Hop on a Plane?
You know, I sort of spent a good 6 solid months writing songs for this record, and then pretty much felt done. That 6 month, also, 6 months also were the first 6 months we had off in 10 years. First 6 months I had not in a relationship in 10 years, and I was sort of like emotionally engaged with someone long distance, and was kind of being very obsessive, but thought it was very safe because it was long distance. And so I wrote most of the songs on the Con about meeting that person and sort of like starting to experience those weird feelings, like you're like, oh my god, I'm feeling and acting 15, how is this possible at 25? And it was very fun, but then it kind of ended, you know, which is where Call It Off kind of came, where it was just like it ended before it began, really. And but we had sort of like a moment where we were talking again, and I felt very frustrated, and sort of Hop a Plane was, I guess, kind of my answer to that feeling, which was sort of, again, another sort of subtle Con, which was saying that I wanted to be told that I wasn't theirs, which really meant I wanted to be told that I was theirs, but I wasn't. And so I got the result I didn't want by asking the question that I shouldn't have asked, which is awesome. So I wrote a song about it.
And this is it. This is Hop a Plane. We'll be right back. Hop a Plane, that is a song from the new Tegan and Sarah album, The Con, live on stage at World Cafe Live. More from Tegan and Sarah, including a live version of Walking with a Ghost, when we return to the World Cafe. We're back with our guests, Tegan and Sarah. Although they may be young, they have been at this since their teens, and it's only recently they have seen any real success. You know, you talk about 10 years without a break. I'd love it if you would kind of describe for people, you know, who think this is the life they want, what being a rock star, in quotes, is actually really like.
It depends what band you're in. You know, we've toured with lots of bands who it's like, especially boys, you know, and they're just like, nope, no girlfriends on the road. And we've got a really open door policy with our group of people. You know, I think that the only way to balance this lifestyle is to do your best not to make two separate worlds, home world and on the road world, which is difficult to do. I mean, we've taken steps like moving to a tour bus and off, like, you know, encouraging our band members to bring out their girlfriends, and we do the same. And, you know, we got a phone for the bus so that the boys can afford to make phone calls, like to family and friends too. It's not just about girlfriends, though we all are pretty relationship love obsessed in our group. But, you know, that sort of thing, like encouraging that kind of behavior. I also think because we're a co-ed group, there's lots of talking about feelings and emotions. And it's very much about keeping what's happening on the road relevant to what's happening at home and vice versa.
But it's not that glamorous. And it is difficult to kind of like, after 10 years of doing it, I mean, we've seen a dramatic change in certainly the lifestyle standard of mm-hmm. living. You know, you go from touring and, I mean, Tegan and I, the first couple tours that we actually did, were like on the Greyhound bus. I mean, we literally
were
like...
It's difficult to talk someone into coming. You're like, hey, honey, you want to come on the Greyhound with me across Canada? It's going to be fun.
It's not fun. So, I mean, over 10 years, it's definitely dramatically changed. And just in terms of like communication and, you know, like being able to own a cell phone or have a computer. Like we have wireless on our tour bus. I mean, it's amazing. Like you're laying in your little bunk and you're typing on the computer, and I'm like, you know, like 6-7 years ago those weren't options for us. And it's exhausting. We just had our stepdad just came out and spent 4 days with us in New York, and you know, I can see the exhaustion on our parents' faces when they come out.
But it's exhausting to have to entertain all the time too, which is kind of, that's got a bad part too. It's like, and that's what makes it difficult to sustain relationships on the road, is that it's not like you can just turn it into the Partridge Family and move everyone out onto the tour bus with you. It's like you're sleeping in a tiny little bunk, which means that inevitably you don't want to sleep with your partner, and that is not good for the sex life. You know, like you're on a bunk or you're in the bunk and you're like, get
out. It's also pretty hard in that.
It's very difficult. Yeah. And we are all chatty Cathys, and we're all catty as well. So we would be just totally rumor mill would get going, but there's lots of difficulties, but we're doing our best. I mean, we're not partiers, and we really do keep this whole open door family kind of policy so that people can have love. I mean, I'd rather everyone be happy and, you know, accommodate their relationships than have everybody be miserable and lonely and, you know, that sort of thing. So, but it's definitely very interesting, and there's definitely pros and cons to being single on the road as well, because, you know, it's nice to have someone to call at the end of the night. And when I crawl into my bunk right now, it's a little bit like, this is it. Nobody cares about me. Nobody knows what I'm doing.
Tegan, it's interesting that you went immediately to the relationship part of that answer, and Sarah, you went to the...
I thought that you were asking a completely different question, but Tegan, you were kind of, just say it, it's okay, don't be afraid of Tegan.
Who's afraid of me?
I thought it was really funny that she went immediately to the relationship thing, too. I was like...
Well, that's really all we're doing. It's all relationships with the people you work with. Like, we have, you know...
I think the question was more, though, basically you want us to tell people that it's a myth that being a rock star is fun, and that it's actually really exhausting and tiring.
I wanted a real answer, and I love
That's the real answer. I mean, we don't do drugs and we don't party. I mean, so how much can I say about that? There, I just said it.
Yeah.
It's really hard work.
I love bringing people out and them getting tired. Our friends, anybody. I'm like, isn't this fun? We were just in Los Angeles, and our best friend came out on the road with us for a couple of days. She was like hanging out by the pool, and she was down in Malibu at the beach, and she's like, this is awesome. I love this life. She's like, your life, not so cool. This vacation life, this is what I want.
Well, back in your head is Sarah's your tune. Mm-hmm. Anything we should know before we hear this?
Sure. It's just, you know, kind of like a simple pop love song about being you know, into somebody and then kind of getting into something else.
Now, the story has always been that, Tegan, you're amazingly prolific, and Sarah, you struggle
I struggle,
and get a few good songs. Has that changed at all?
I think I think I'm still a very like focused. I think I've changed my idea about myself. I always felt really bad, like I wasn't writing enough. But I think that I just if I get some ideas really early in the game that I don't like, I won't sit and work at them. Like I'll only really focus my time and energy if I think something's worth it. So I definitely have a smaller, you know. I guess I don't have as many songs to pull from, but I always feel like the songs that I write are really good. So I don't beat myself up about it very much anymore.
And this is back in your head.
Yeah.
In your head, live on stage at World Cafe Live from Tegan and Sarah. We're listening to tunes from the Con, but you also did a version of Walking with a Ghost, which seems really kind of the breakthrough song for you guys in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Could you feel that song kind of happening as it did? Did you think a lot of it when you first?
We had never had radio support before, so initially when it started getting radio, like alternative radio in the United States, we were like, we didn't know if we even wanted that. Like, we'd spent so many years sort of like organically building a fan base and connecting to people and opening for bands and that sort of thing, and we were like, you kind of get used to not having the other thing. So as soon as it started happening, I was like, do we really want radio? Like, is that what we're really going for? And do we want to have to go in and shake every program director's hands and, you know, like look these people in the face and say like, thank you for having us, even though I think that there's so many fundamental issues with radio that I don't agree with. And so it was a challenge for sure. And then to have the song really start to take off and you kind of lose control of it a little bit because you're just like, well, what, you can't stop people from playing it. And then to have, you know, our songs be on television, like with Grey's Anatomy, you know, approached us about using some of our stuff. And we were like, yeah, we really like the show. And then to have the White Stripes covering Walking with a Ghost. I mean, there was definitely, this was happening over months and months. It wasn't like I woke up on a Wednesday and by Friday all of this had happened. I mean, it was like, it was over, you know, like a year. And so definitely we saw something happening and changing. And it was really interesting to me because we got off the road in March of 2006 and I really started to feel almost like a climax coming before the summer. Like I could, and I was like, we're not even on the road. Like we're not even doing anything. It's amazing how this actually does work for itself. Like the song being played, the TV, the White Stripes, just the buzz on MySpace, those types of things. You could really see that there was energy still once we had gotten off the road happening around the project, which we were never used to because we were a touring band. So when you get off the road, you see a dramatic drop in sales, et cetera, et cetera. All of a sudden you're more of a media band, and now you can go and take 6 months off to write an album, and things actually continue to develop and change.
So let's go back to the stage of World Cafe Live, and this is Tegan and Sarah and Walking with a Ghost. Walking with a Ghost, finishing up our session. That was Tegan and Sarah and their band live on stage at World Cafe Live. Once again, their new album is called The Con.
Thank you very much.
And we thank them for joining us today on The Cafe.